utilizing that extra draft limit reservoir water. So looking here on how the lakes actually responded to the turn in subsequently the inflow season when the snow melted, Tai, the dotted line, green dotted line and the red dotted line reflects our change in the draft limit that we approved back there in March. And you can see the red, solid red line, it is illustrative of the original curve that we developed in December of 2019. So blue is demonstrating how the lake is actually responding and what 2020 inflow and lake levels look like. So you can see here that we never really even came down to reach the old draft limit where we had modified it. One thing we did note as part of that board meeting is that once we made the turn and inflows were sufficient enough that Tai was going to maintain above curtailment levels, that we would return to the original draft limit of 1280 and 1277 for Swan. And so that is what we have done. We are currently operating at those limits. And these charts are about a week old. As of right now, Tai has actually reached up to the dotted line, which is the 2013 through 2017 average inflows. And so we are trending right here on the dotted line now for Tai, and Swan is actually up above here, and it's on the flashboards about 3 feet. So that's good. We want to maintain available reservoir capacity at Swan Lake to capture inflows without spilling. So we will continue to fill Tai Lake until if the event occurs that we spill, then we will capture more remaining water at Swan. But we prefer to, if we're going to spill at either plant, we prefer to spill at Tai first and then leave that available reservoir capacity at Swan to capture inflows and events, and then spill at Swan if required. Other than that, I mean, it's kind of funny. We went from last year talking about droughts and running diesel campaigns to this year possibly talking about spill. So turn of events, and it really makes a difference and goes to show how Southeast Alaska can dramatically change in the course of, 3 months since the turn. That's all I got, Trey.
Yeah, I think it's a good point, Robert. I mean, it really is a good illustration. If you remember back to the financials on our revenue, how much weather volatility really plays in our revenue volatility, and therefore the challenges of trying to budget within that, certainly is well illustrated between this year and last year. That's all I got, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Questions from the board for Trey and Robert?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Prasanka here. Robert, how did your snow pillows work out for your gauging this year? Did you find them to be helpful?
Oh, yeah, that was actually pretty amazing. The snow pillows, they worked perfectly all the way up until about April when the snow started melting. And in April, Tai developed an ice bridge over the top of it, and so it showed actually less than what was on the hill. So when we did our snow survey, we were surprised to see, and you can see that in the reports here. We did a snow survey at Tai and at Swan. You can see that we were very healthy on the snowpacks this year. But yeah, absolutely, the snow pillows helped us make that decision there when we had our last board meeting, where we had knowledge of the amount of water that was on the hill in the drainage basin. So yeah, they absolutely helped a lot there, Steve.
And a follow up, Mr. Chair, is it something you looked at doing on at Swan? Is it some? Is it technology you can incorporate there to help you diagnose your prognosis?
We have snow pillows at Swan and Tyee.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize you're at Swan as well. Thanks.
Yep. And we're sharing that.
Other question? Go ahead, Robert.
I was just saying the USGS actually reached out to us, and we are sharing that information with them now as well.
Thank you. Other questions for Robert or Trey on the operations plan? Hearing none, let's move on to the consideration approval of CEPA's strategic plan, new mission statement, and organizational statements. There are two motions, I believe, on page 33. Sharon, how would you want to proceed with that on the motions?
And then discuss it, and then
we can't hear you on this end, Sharon.
Mr. Chair, if you could please, if we could read the suggested motion first on the strategic plan, then discuss it, and then call a roll, and then follow suit with the other two motions below it.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
So do I have a
I move to adopt the Southeast Alaska Power Agency 2020-2022 strategic plan presented at CEPA's June 30th, 2020 regular board meeting.
This is Bob.
Thank you. Is there a second? Thank you, Robert. Okay. Discussion on the strategic plan.
So I guess I'll start off if you'd like me to there, Mr. Chair.
Please.
Just to kind of summarize where we're at today. You know, we went through the strategic planning process, we got back, we polished that up, we sent it out to the board for comments, got just a few minor little edits, tweaks, not much in substance, a little bit to the organizational statements. I think there was one or two word changes in there. Anyway, so I put the whole plan in here, and I'll kind of step through it here in if you guys would like to right now. And then we can circle back to the other motion if you like as well.
Okay. Please proceed.
Okay. So I'm going to draw your attention to the key areas. And for this particular meeting, I put the whole thing in here just so people could look at it, and they've got some reference material. But after this, people should be fairly familiar with it at this point. And then subsequent meetings, I'll be updating the board on periodically on progress that's being made, and probably put it into more of a table format so it's easier for the a little quicker for the board to digest. So I'll draw your attention to page 42 of the PDF. And essentially this is the first area, and this is board and organizational governance. And I think this is an important one that I'd like a little bit of just direction from the board on today. And maybe I'm getting a little bit ahead of the motion, but it's kind of contextual to it anyway. If you'll notice at the very back of behind the actual package starting on page 81, there's a summary, and this was at the board's request. I believe Tor had asked about this, and some other folks too. You know, what did the tenure of directors look like? And it was a great question. And so Sharon took a lot of time in digging back and tried to put some numbers to that. And I think the board will probably find this information very helpful on these couple of items I'm going to touch on in the strategic plan. As you can see, for the most part, most people serve multiple terms. You know, and even with the swing vote that goes north and south every other year it swings, or every year it swings, I should say. For the most part, most people serve multiple terms. So I think we may be possibly trying to find a solution for a problem that doesn't really exist. It may be just in a couple of instances, and I'll remind the board too that for the most part, is under the control of mayors or however each community appoints their directors. So if for some reason there was some perception that some people didn't have an opportunity to serve more than one term, that's fully at the leisure of the mayors and their councils or assemblies. So anyway, I just want to draw your attention to that, and I'm sure you guys have already seen that all. And I just thought that was some interesting information to help put all that in context for that particular topic. So, and thanks for bouncing back to the board organization. So, back to this, on this particular item, this had to do with board terms, and on the next page, on page 43, has to do with the rotating seats. Those two items, I guess at some point today, I'd like a little direction from the board. Is this something that you want staff to spend more time on and suggest new configurations, or are people feeling better now that they can kind of see that, you know, it's been pretty spread out over the years with multiple terms? And I'll stop there for some comments.
This is Bobby Ketchikan. It's good to see that chart. I kind of agree that we're probably trying to find a solution to a problem that doesn't exist at this time. It's worked fairly well. You can see there's some longevity from each of the communities. As far as staff goes, I don't see any reason to spend much more time on this.
Mr. Chair, I agree with Mayor Stevenson. When I see it laid out, it is, there's not a problem. And I think we had sort of projected it through that it was somehow a stumbling block, but it obviously isn't. So I would say don't spend a bunch more time on it either.
Okay. Thank you. Other thoughts on it? Yeah, and I guess I would also concur. It doesn't look like there's a problem there. Although I have to say on I got to go back to comment Trey made on the Petersburg end of that. The assembly makes the selections for the board, not the mayor here. The mayor can recommend, but the assembly finally selects. Just for your information.
And Mr. Chairman, that's the same in Wrangell. It's voted on by the full assembly, and if the assembly it's not voted on, but it's approved by the full assembly. And if somebody wanted to interject, they can. So there's a similar process.
Thank you. Okay, I guess what I'm hearing, Trey, is that you've met that objective. And then if you want to move on to some other part here.
Yes, I'll do that. Thank you for your feedback. So let's move on to item 2 on page 45 of your packet. And this has to do with power supply. And I provided in my CEO report in this packet an update on where we're at in the process of new generation, and then on the subsequent page, on page 46, you'll see when those delivery dates are. They're in this particular strategic plan. They're slated for 2021, and I'll more than likely have these out before that time, but that's when they're slated. So. Just wanted to point that out to you. So, and you can see most of those deliverables are out there a little ways. Any question on that item before I move to number 3? Okay, moving to number 3 on page 48. This is the legislative and regulatory advocacy.
Excuse me, Trey, this is Carl. I've got to leave the meeting for a few minutes. I've got something I have to attend to. I will be back. I apologize.
Thanks, Carl. So under number three, marketing, communications, legislative. That covers quite a broad range of things. And so right now, coming up on Q3 of 2020, I'll provide to the board some type of a legislative strategy overview. You know, things that got a little bit of kind of funky COVID and the ability to go to some of these outreach things, but I am still working the various channels remotely. So I'll put something formal in place just to kind of let the board know what I'm thinking on a strategic basis and on a going forward. So I'll get that deliverable out in Q3. And then of course, participation in the local, regional and national forums. And obviously that's just ongoing. I'm doing that all the time. So that one's pretty straightforward. Moving on to the next page, on page 49, there's just a little bit on technology and video conferencing and such, and you can see that we've actually, just by force of nature, we're having to launch that a little bit early. So we'll see how that goes, or maybe there's always opportunity to improve that. You know, we'll encounter some difficulties here. We've already identified a couple things in our office how we might be able to make it more functional. Of course, we're still all trying to social distance and all that stuff too. So that makes it more complicated. So more to come on that, but that's moving along well.
Hey,
yes.
Through the chair, this is Bob.
Yes, go ahead, Bob.
So we had the item B, which was the diesel protocol on page, I think it's 47.
Let me see if I did. I missed something here.
I think, yeah, we jumped over that a little bit.
Sure. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Let me slip back to that, Bob.
Thank you. So under the situation, it's like the fourth bullet down where diesel is expensive and dirty. I'd like to remove anything in regards to the dirty, because for a local community, we have to work at our air emissions and things like that. So I think that in a related document, so that's coming from CIFA, we don't want to hamper the local communities in that.
Okay, yeah, I just think that was a comment captured back during the strategic plan, that, and that's how it got in there. So we can certainly edit that.
Yeah, it could be, you know, less environmentally friendly than hydro, but I just, the word dirty kind of pokes at it's environmentally, I mean, coal is dirty. I think diesel is